Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
We continue our series this week on the fruits of the Spirit. Who's been enjoying this series? Very challenging series because it kind of really, it's a mirror and we look at ourselves and go, am I displaying these fruits of the Spirit? Has God transformed me completely or is he still working or where do I need to change and what does God need to do in my life? Comes from this passage of scripture, Galatians 5, 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We're going to look at gentleness today. Gentleness is what we're going to be looking at today, and I think it's one of those ones, a bit like kindness. You could just sort of rush over through it and go, oh, gentleness, God's gentleness. I think gentleness is kind of seen as like a negative thing in today's world. Like, really, if you think about it, I mean, we like being treated with gentleness. We'd like to, you know, don't be too harsh on me. But gentleness is kind of not really seen as a strength, is it? Gentleness is kind of seen as maybe weakness or maybe it's overlooked or misunderstood. It could be a bit passive. And, you know, in this world, we want strength. We want boldness and assertiveness and we want to be, you know, strong in what we do. But I do want to say that today, maybe you haven't really thought about this. Gentleness is actually a lot more than just the idea of being softly spoken. I'm so gentle. Hey, church. Welcome. It's just so good to be here. You know, like, I mean, gentleness, you're like, it's not like being quiet. It's not like, just like, in fact, gentleness, when it comes to the scripture, as Rick Warren puts it, I was watching Rick Warren as he sort of unpacked this a little bit earlier this week too. He put it really clearly. He said it's strength under control. Like, it's a real strength. It's knowing that you've got strength, but you control that strength. You don't want to assert that strength. And the fruit of the Spirit, when it comes to following Jesus, is, yeah, you can be strong, but you can also assert in a way that is gentle. It can be in a way that is completely different to the world, you know. Have you ever had a situation where you didn't know your own strength? Where you've done something, you're like, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to do that, right? You ever played with a kid and then you accidentally hurt them? Like you threw them across the room and, you know, just me with my nephews. You hurt me. I didn't realize you're only 20 kilos. You know, like this strength is just a bit out of control. We understand that gentleness, we often say to kids, be gentle, be gentle, be gentle. One of my favorite things for about 5 years I worked with a Christian radio station in town was go to the Ecker. We used to go to the petting zoo area, okay? We used to broadcast out from the live, where all the animals were, the baby animals. And you see every parent go in, look so stressed. Be gentle with that chicken, you know, be gentle. Be gentle, and then you'd see a kid holding a lamb and putting it into a coma. Like, you know, it's like, and they're like, be gentle. Oh, the baby lamb's having a sleep. You know, like, it. Just be gentle. Calm down, be gentle. Today I celebrate 12 years being married to Beck, and Beck's a good person. Very good person. But I like, you know, over the 12 years, okay, she's just like, can you give me like a shoulder rub? And I'm like, sure. And then I'll just literally slight touch. And she goes, oh, be gentle. I'm like, I can't be any more gentle. Like, I can't. I'm just touching. Ah! You know, like, I'm like, I must be superhuman, right? Like, I am just so, I mean, I'm strong, right? Gentleness. Gentleness. There is strength under control when it comes to supernatural gentleness. Those that follow Christ, a gentle person that follows Christ, knows their identity in Christ, understands its fullness, which actually allows them to function in a different way to the rest of the world. It allows us to not be reactionary, not to get angry when wrongs have been done to us. Our response mechanism is actually different. It's quite countercultural. Like, there's this sort of idea that we can respond differently. When everyone else says this is how you should respond when you're under attack, we can respond the way that Jesus would respond, and that was actually being gentle. Jesus was the personification of gentleness. I mean, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Throughout his ministry, he was incredibly gentle. He knew who he was. He was strong the whole way, but he was also
able to deliver it in a way like no one else. And I want to have a look at that today. Matthew 11, 29 says this, Jesus' words, "For I am gentle and humble in heart." Gentle and humble in heart. Jesus was gentle. Even at the times where he could have fired up and he really had the opportunity to assert his power, he chose not to. We read in Matthew 26, 46, 56, I mean, perfect week after Easter, the story in the Garden of Gethsemane. If we think about it, Jesus did things so different. It says this, "Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.' While he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him, a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal from them. 'The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him.' Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. Jesus replied, 'Do what you have come for, friend.'" What? Just even that moment there. "Do what you've come for, friend. Like, you're my friend." "The men stepped forward, seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. 'Put your sword back in its place,' Jesus said to him, 'for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will not at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you did not arrest me. But this has taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." In this moment, Jesus shows strength under control. Like, he understands that this is going to happen. He has this absolute assurance of his mission. He doesn't react. He doesn't yell or scream. He doesn't fight, but instead displays a supernatural ability to be gentle to his oppressors. His calm nature, I mean, can you imagine how trippy that must have been for these Roman soldiers? Like, let's be honest, they've gone out in the middle of the night with clubs and weapons. Why have they taken clubs and weapons? Because they're expecting a fight. They're expecting a fight from Jesus, which you'd normally get from someone you take in the night against their will, an innocent person, okay? You've got all your disciples there. You've got all your backers. This is pretty crazy. So they're like, we just need to be prepared for a fight. And Jesus shows gentleness by understanding he's on mission, but his response mechanism is quite amazing. First and foremost, I mean, one of his disciples is like, "Let's fight. See you later, ear." Jesus says, "Put down your sword. Put down your sword." He's like, "I'm not here to fight. I'm not here to fight anyone." In fact, his display of gentleness is incredible in this moment. I read a quote that says this, and I just want to put it up. I thought it's amazing. "Gentleness is not a survival strategy in a hostile world, but a revolutionary expression of divine strength." Isn't that such a great quote? And Jesus displays it in this moment. Put your sword back. He also points out his power in that moment. "Do you not think that if I needed to call down 12 legions of angels, I couldn't do it right now?" So he has full power, full authority in that garden, and he chooses gentleness. Like, he shows these Roman soldiers, like, "I'm not here to fight, boys. I'm not here to fight. In fact, I'm still calling my betrayer friend." Like, there's this upside down world that Jesus, like, this is the Jesus we follow. He shows us, displays to us the power of gentleness. Even though they were aggressive, he responds with gentleness. In this moment, Jesus shows us that gentleness is a few things. First and foremost, gentleness, if you're a gentle person, it doesn't mean you're a pushover. Doesn't mean you're a pushover. Jesus knew his authority. It doesn't show, you know, it doesn't mean that you've got soft in your conviction, that you don't care about anything. It doesn't show that you're a coward or fearful. In fact, it shows incredible strength to respond with gentleness when those that hate you attack you. Gentleness in the Greek, the original word, actually refers to the idea of meekness, humility, this idea of quiet strength. The ability to respond with grace, even when everyone's trying to push you to a point of anger. think about that if the world responded this way. If we all went out in our daily lives, we don't have to prove our strength. We respond like Jesus. The moment that Jesus gets arrested, he gets taken before Pilate. And he's being questioned by Pilate, Matthew 27, 11 to 14. It says, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus responds, you have said so, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, do you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. This is to fulfill the passage of Isaiah 53:7, that he was like a lamb to the slaughter. He made no noise. He's fulfilling prophecy. We know him as the Lamb of God. We know no animal like a lamb that is gentle. I mean, there is, if you've ever been around sheep and lamb, they're so gentle. There's no aggression within them. Jesus is fulfilling prophecy in this moment, but he's showing us gentleness to the great amazement of the governor. Like, this guy's like, they're accusing you of horrendous things. Are you not hearing what I'm hearing? Because the governor, in his thought process, is like, this is your time to fight. Like, this is your time, Jesus. If there's ever a time to fight, this is now, because they're accusing you of things that will put you to death, so you better respond. You better give us what you have. And Jesus decides to be gentle. He knows who he is. He knows the mission he's on. He has a full assurance in his Father, yet he chooses to be quiet. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Gentleness is completely countercultural. Completely countercultural. And there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus brings up gentleness or meekness again in his most famous preach, the Sermon on the Mount. We've talked about what different fruits of the Spirit can bring about in your life. We can become children of God, those that are called children of God. But what happens when you're a gentle person? What does Jesus promise to us as his followers if we choose gentleness instead of choosing to do it everyone else's way? It says this in Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Inheritance of the earth. That's a pretty big call. Who wants the earth? None of you, okay? You're all a bit too humble. You're like, I'll just have the Redlands, thanks. Like, it's just, like Jesus calls it, you will inherit the earth. Those that are gentle will inherit the earth. Talk about inheritance. Some of us go, a good inheritance might get a few bucks, a few things. But Jesus says, if you're gentle, I'll give you everything. The earth is yours. If you understand gentleness, you will inherit the earth. So how do we become gentle? How do we let go of our sinful nature of reaction and anger when it kicks in, when you want to kick and scream? How did Jesus, I mean, that is a powerful moment where Jesus has his right to fight back in the garden, then he's before Pilate, he has a right to fight back, but he chooses gentleness. How do we then do like Christ? How do we live a life like Christ in a day-to-day? How is it possible? Remember, these are fruits of the Spirit. These are things that are supernatural, not things that you go, oh, I'm trying to be gentle. I'm trying to be gentle. How do we do that? Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. We've seen that statement, for I am gentle and humble in heart, but there's more to it. He says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Connect to me. Do as I do. Allow me to show you which way to go. Rest in the fact that I'm in control. Fully submit, surrender. Be like I am, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You can't be gentle unless you're yoked to Christ, connected to Jesus. Unless you genuinely are all in going, God, My life is yours. I will go where you want me to go. That allows gentleness to overflow in our life. In this passage of scripture, it doesn't just stop there. There's actually another line that comes after this, which I actually think is probably for us more than anything that we want in this whole life. It says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And the next line says, and you will find rest for your souls. Inheriting the earth sounds great, but imagine a life where your soul's at rest at all times. You can take on whatever life throws at you, whatever disappointment throws at you, whatever stuff you're going through, whatever sickness, whatever stuff that throws you off course. In that time, you can have rest for your soul. You are not restless when you go to sleep. You will experience the gentleness of God on your own life because you're connected to it. An assurance, a strength within you that's beyond this world. And that's what Jesus promises when we're connected to him. When we're gentle, this fruit of the Spirit, like all the other fruits, remember we've mentioned this over the last few weeks, you can go and listen to the podcast, is that the fruits that are produced on our life aren't just for us to experience, it's for others. When you're a gentle person, man, that fruit is really well received by others. I personally, when I stuff up, I really like gentleness. It happens often. And I would just love to receive that reprimand with gentleness. You know what I'm talking about, though. Hey, we've all had those bosses. They have full power. Some of our bosses, they have the power, they have the strength, but their response mechanism is, don't you know who I am? In other words, that power has got to them and they assert that power in a way that makes you feel this big. You know, I had a boss in my early 20s. I used to be so scared of him because of the way he responded to my failures. I used to sneak past his office. Then I'd hear, Asman, come into my office. And everything in me died. Like it would literally, it would just crush me because he loved to assert his power. Loved it. Loved to make his staff feel like they were second-rate citizens. It was crushing. But I've also worked for bosses who had that same power that could literally fire me or tell me, you know, like this is what's, who came to me and said, I'm going to point out your faults, but they did it with gentleness. Like there was still the same strength and power in their words, but it wasn't aggressive. It was a gentle word that even if I didn't like it, I'd have to receive it in a way that was like, I know you're right and I'll try and do better. And I had great respect for that boss, for those bosses, because that taught me a lot about what gentleness looks like. You can still be strong, but you can also be gentle. And Jesus displays this time and time again. I mean, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lion of Judah, the one with all authority in heaven, he says, I can pull down 12 legions of angels right now, describes himself as gentle and humble. And he displays himself throughout his ministry. He displays it constantly. He chooses the humble way. When he enters the city, he doesn't ride in on a war horse. I'm the king. He rides in on a donkey. This gentle donkey. In his ministry, there's time and time again where the kids, they come to Jesus. They want to hang out with Jesus. Jesus is doing serious talking right now. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom, the keys to the whole world. My teaching is the teaching of God himself, and the kids want to be around him. Kids know gentleness, don't they? The best indicator, I mean, kids, they know if someone's gentle or not. They either run away and cower in another room and they're like, I don't want to be around that person. They're angry, they're harsh, they're rough. Or when there's a gentle spirit in the room, they're like, ooh, I'm sitting on your lap. Even though it's an inappropriate time, I'm coming and giving you a hug. And you're like, hey, how you going? There's this something about gentleness that's so attractive to the kids. And Jesus constantly has to tell his disciples, let the children come to me. His gentleness. He's gentle in the way that he reprimands people or brings people to a place of repentance. John 8:1-11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman." Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." What a gentle spirit that is. By the law, she deserves death. And Jesus' response is to be gentle with a woman who's had a life maybe of aggression, of hurt, of pain, of suffering. She's been through a lot. And Jesus doesn't go, "I'm going to also point out your problems. Let me tell you all the things I know about you. All the laws you've broken, all the things you've stuffed up in." Instead, he chooses gentleness. He chooses love. And he says, "Neither do I condemn you." And then in a beautiful moment, he just drops a line. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Can you feel the gentleness in that? Like, this woman is prepared to die. She's been in the most aggressive experience. These men taunting her, screaming at her, dragging her out in public, causing shame upon her. And Jesus is gentle. "I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more." He allows her to process what she's going to do with her life. We never know what she does next. Does she run straight back to the bed of the man that she's just with? Or does she take on Jesus' words and change? It doesn't really matter. Jesus chose gentleness. This idea of gentleness, we need to apply in our own lives as we bring the gospel of Jesus. The truth is, there is a heaven and a hell. And maybe you've never heard that before. There is a time after death that we will either stand before God and he will look at us and see that we've received Jesus Christ and we can be set free and we spend eternity with Christ, or he'll look at us in our sin and say, "Depart from me." And we live in eternity without Christ. That is the truth of the gospel of the good news of Jesus. I mean, he died so that we could receive freedom and life eternal. How often, though, do we take that truth and not use gentleness with it? You've seen those people that stand in the street screaming at people, "You're all going to burn." You may have experienced someone in your own life that hasn't been gentle with the gospel or gentle with the truth at all, and they just point out every one of your faults and how you need to get your life right. "I'm right, you're wrong." How does that go? Jesus displays to us with the gospel, we need to be gentle. We need to be gentle. 1 Peter 3:15 talks about approaching people with gentleness and respect in the ways that we present the gospel. "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Maybe that family member that's far away from God, maybe your approach has been pretty aggressive. And you can know those moments where you got quite heated about the truth. Maybe the Holy Spirit's saying, "Why don't you approach it with gentleness?" Maybe there's something in what Jesus did that really is different to the way that we try and get our point across. Remember Matthew 5:5, Jesus says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." If you think about it, that was actually Jesus' mission. He was here to take his inheritance. He was here to inherit us as his sons and daughters. Through his death, he would receive us as an inheritance. This inheritance, by the way, goes way back to Moses. Moses, when he's in the desert, they're trying to get to the promised land, remember? And Moses has a moment with God where he goes to God and God gives him the Ten Commandments. Remember that moment? And so Moses up the mountain, he gets the Ten Commandments. "We want to follow you. We're going to be a great nation." Gets the Ten Commandments, goes down the hill, and they're worshiping a golden cow. So he gets really angry. His reaction is not gentleness. Furious, smashes it. And then he has to go back up the hill, spend more time with God. God reprimands him and the people and all that kind of thing. But there's a moment in Scripture in Exodus 34:9, if we get that Scripture up, where Moses says to God, "Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin." There's a moment of repentance. "And take us as your inheritance." And God says, "I'll do it." Even though we're stiff-necked, forgive us of our wickedness and our sin. This is well before Jesus. And Jesus actually fulfills the promise he makes to Moses to take us into our promised land, which is eternal life with him. Second Peter 3:9 says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." As someone who comes with a past of a short fuse, someone who's been very reactory over the years, John, you're with me? You're the only one. They're all perfect. It's you and I. Gentleness is something that you've got to really allow God to do in your life. Like, I don't think you can summon up gentleness, really. It has to be the overflow of God in your life. It really does. It has to be a fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the fruits of the Spirit, they're all interconnected. You know, kindness and goodness, all of these things. They're not just one standalone thing. They're all connected. So how do I start producing gentleness in my life? Maybe I've been quite aggressive, reactory. I fire up, I'm a firecracker. Bang, you know, I blow up everything. How do I become gentle? How do I allow God to create gentleness in my life? Well, first and foremost, you have to stay connected to the vine. You have to abide in Christ. You have to connect to Jesus every day. Not like every Sunday for an hour. But every day, you need to come to Christ and go, "I'm angry right now, but I need your spirit of gentleness." Remember, those who are gentle inherit the earth. There's a great promise for those who choose gentleness. Strength under control. Not being beaten up and allowing yourself to, "Oh, well." Strength under control. Using discernment and wisdom that comes from God. How do you respond to this situation? Keep connecting to Jesus. Keep opening that Bible. Keep reading it. You know, practice humility. Humility is realizing you're not God, only God is God. And you will not always get it right. Using the words, "I was wrong," is actually a really great statement. You want a marriage the last 12 years? Say, "I was wrong occasionally." Beck was wrong in 2000 and... I can't remember. "I was wrong." Stay humble in heart. Understand we all need grace. There is going to be a stage in your life where you will mess up majorly and you will want gentleness to come your way. Matthew 7:12 says this: "So in everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you." This sums up the law of prophets. You want gentleness to come your way? Have a gentle spirit towards others. Understand we're all human. Apply gentleness. Allow God to bring gentleness back in your life when you need it. Mate, ask the Holy Spirit to shape your reactions. Like, Holy Spirit, help me respond. I tell you what, false accusation is a horrendous thing. Like, you know, when people lie about you and make up all sorts of stuff and they're out there literally publicly trying to bring down your character, everything within you might go, I need to fight for my, like, I know this is wrong and I want to fight and I'm going to come back with full aggression. Understand, Jesus was an innocent man, did no wrong, was accused to the point of the cross, and he chose gentleness. Wow. He allowed God to fight for him. One of my favorite passages of scripture says this, Exodus 14:14. We've literally got this on our wall, on a poster, because Beck and I were like, man, as pastors, sometimes it's just like, whoa. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still, or you need only to be silent. Jesus was silent before Pilate, but he knew that God was fighting on his behalf. He also knew he was on mission and he could take the pain. Why? Why did he suffer and go through that pain? Why was he silent? He wanted his inheritance, which was you and I. He wanted you so badly, he was prepared to bite his lip, to stay silent, to go to the cross, to die, to make a way for you to be set free. He loves you. Holy Spirit, help me respond, not react. Pray that every day. Holy Spirit, help me respond, not react. Ephesians 4:2 tells us, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. The Word of God's powerful if we apply it. As I wrap up, just remind you again, gentleness is not about being passive. It's about being Spirit-led. It's about choosing to be kind when you could be cruel, using discernment and wisdom every day of your life. It's about speaking life into people when they're speaking hate and death. It's about not allowing yourself to fall into the same trap of being cruel, mean, and reactory like everyone else. I follow Jesus. I do things differently. It's upside down. Even if we have the power to, we choose not to. We control that power. We choose to do what's right. It's about letting the power of Christ in you be known through your peace, your patience, your humility, and your gentleness. You know, today I hope we'll walk out of here not with this sort of heart of, I need to try to be gentle, but we just leave with a place of, Jesus, I surrender. I put my yoke upon you. I'm going to stay connected to you. You show me which way to go and I'll go there. Because you are gentle. May God's gentleness flow through us all this week. May we be bold, may we be strong, may we speak the truth, but let's always speak that truth with gentleness in love. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your gentleness. We want to be more like you, Jesus. Give us the ability to discern, know how to function in our day-to-day life, even when accusation comes against us, which we know is not true. God, would you help us love anyway? For some of you here today, you may have never experienced the love of God. God loves you. He's been gentle with you. He's still gentle with you. He doesn't force anything upon anyone. He doesn't scream, you need to repent. Like the woman said, hey, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Like, your life will be better if you do it that way. And maybe that's you today. You're like, I know I'm broken. I know I'm far away from God. I need to come back to God, but I got a lot to work on. That's okay. God's slow to anger. He loves you. He's compassionate. He'll be gentle with you when you stuff up. It's okay. You just have to put your trust in him and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. God, I'm sorry. That's repentance. Like Moses, Israel, we're stiff-necked. We're wicked, but we repent. And Jesus says, okay. You will be my inheritance. Maybe that's you today. You're wicked. You know that. You've done some stuff you shouldn't do. That's called sin, and Jesus wants to forgive you of it, to give you a fresh start today. If you need to get right with God, I want to pray with you. I want to allow you to start that journey with God. He's gentle. He loves you. He's not harsh. He's not up in heaven looking down with a giant stick wanting to beat you. He loves you. He's taken the beating for you. If that's you here in the room, you want me to pray with you, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are in this room and say, I need Jesus and I'd like to get to know him as. I'd like to repent today and get my life back on track. If that's you, across the room from left to right, just raise your hand if that's you in the room today. At the back, man, I see your hands. I see your hand, man. Mate, he loves you so much and he's gentle. Receive his love today. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I need you. I want to follow you. Jesus, we thank you for your son. You call him son. You call him son. His inheritance is with you forever because of a repentant heart. He can know your love. May he experience your gentleness. May he experience those words of conviction through gentleness to turn, to change, to be more like him. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your heart towards us that is gentle. We pray that we will be more like you and we do as you did this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our